Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. We all experience periods of loss and pain in our lives, dark nights of the soul, when challenging circumstances leave us feeling rudderless and cast adrift without a compass to guide us back to a place of safety, meaning, and direction in our lives. In ancient times, communities looked to their wise elders to guide them through life's initiations and challenges. But few communities keep the ancient traditions today. So how do we know what path to take as we navigate the uncharted territory of a world in transition? Sandra Ingerman, MA, is a world-renowned teacher who spent almost four decades teaching shamanism workshops and reversing environmental pollution using spiritual methods. She's helped thousands of people heal from past and present traumas through the classic shamanic healing method of soul retrieval. And she's the award-winning author of more than a dozen books, including Soul Retrieval, Medicine for the Earth, Walking in Light, and her latest book, Walking Through Darkness, a nature-based path to navigating suffering and loss, written with fellow shamanic expert Lynn Cedar Roberts. Sandra Ingerman joins me now to remind us that periods of pain and loss can be initiations in disguise, leading to growth, transformation, and a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us. Sandra Ingerman, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's always a delight to talk with you.
But likewise. Given the state of our world today, you know, one might wonder whether this tumultuous transitional period we're currently navigating is itself a kind of collective dark night of the soul for humanity.
Absolutely. And that's what I've been trying to talk about more, is we're not realizing that we're being asked to step into a different state of consciousness, one that's not so divided, a little bit more kindness, a little bit more compassion. And so we see an entire generation and thousands of people starting to wake up to, wait a second, this life isn't seeming right to me. Something's not right. And a change has to happen. And so what happens when these kinds of circumstances come up is we have to let go of our old identity. And that means stripping the ego. And stripping the ego is never a pleasant experience because we're really attached to our ego and our mental thoughts. But we're making a jump. A lot of people, I'm watching thousands of my students making these jumps into a completely new identity. And in order to get from step A to step B, it's all the letting go of the burdens of the past, the betrayals, the atrocities that have happened. And so we're seeing that now on the planet, is people are being pushed to their absolute limit of how much more can we take of living such a disharmonious way towards ourselves and towards nature. And we're nature, so it all comes back to us too. And so we're going through this process of change, which is actually very positive. It's the letting go of what's not working that we're still emotionally and mentally attached to that causes the greatest pain.
Yeah. Well, your book, Walking Through Darkness, it provides a much needed natural roadmap to navigate such times like these. So what inspired you and Lynn to write it together?
Well, it was really interesting because Lynn and I wrote a book once before called Speaking with Nature. And then we really had no contact. And I taught a workshop, an online workshop called The Dark Night of the Soul Leads to the Light of the Shaman. So I taught the material in the book from my perspective, what I went through, how I've gotten through my initiations, what's my roadmap. And I said to myself when the course was over, oh, I'm going to write a book on this. And the day the course was over, Lynn emails me and says, would you like to write a book on darkness? She actually asked me that question years ago. Would you like to write a book together on darkness? And I said, absolutely not, because every author knows that whatever you write, you need to live. And I had just come through taking care of my parents for the last 40 years of their life, and all this drama in my life, and I didn't want to call in more darkness into my life to write the book. But I went through such a tough initiation, and I felt that that Lynn and I could join together to really bring out some beautiful and helpful material of how to keep moving forward and not sit down in the dark. So when I did enter the darkness again, I agreed to write the book.
You said about, you know, you'd been through another initiation. I mean, your life has been full of them, and it's, when one reads it, you know, hit by lightning at the age of 7, life-threatening illnesses, NDEs, and near drowning in your late teens, almost being flattened by a boulder, accidentally driving your car off a cliff, suicidal ideation. I guess you could say that you were born to be a shaman, but how on earth did you cope with such trials as a young child and as an adult with no elders to guide you?
Well, that's actually the point that I'm trying to make in the book is I had classic shamanic experience of being called to be a shaman, but I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in an immigrant neighborhood where people were just trying to figure out how to eat. So there wasn't spiritual mentoring that was going on back in the early 1960s when I was so young. So it's almost like I just went from one experience to another, but I was so hungry for knowledge as a teenager. Knowledge was so important to me. So I read every spiritual book I could. So I had a foundation of where I could start using my own tools to help me get through some of these changes. And then when I got introduced to shamanism and the practice of direct revelation and got to meet my own personal helping spirits, they were able to help me understand what was going on in my life and to help me with practices of how to take care of myself. And that's what we're missing now, because we have so many people who were born with these gifts of what we call shamanism, psychic gifts, whatever. The dreamers that were once the most important part of the shamanic cultures, they're here now, but they don't know what to do with their gifts. The people who are getting all these downloads and who are seeing the unbelievable connection of life and nature. These are born shamans, but like me, had no training, so I had to keep tripping my way through. and sometimes getting into trouble and sometimes finding that the universe put me in exactly the right place to get the lessons that I needed. And so I had to develop my own roadmap of how do you get through all of this. And so it's been really important for me to share it with others. And the very second shamanic journey I ever had with the Helping Spirit, he said to me, whatever happens in your life, do not sit down in the dark. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm trying to teach people right now. There's two biggest lessons I'm trying to teach people right now. By just going to bed and putting the covers over your head, you know, you're just letting your nervous system take over. Where what you want to do is you want to find the simplest practices when it's like, I can't get out of bed today. I can't. Nobody can make me get out of bed today. But can you get up and can you light one stick of sage or one piece of incense? That's moving forward. You know, I think that what's happening now is people have these big visions of my life's not working, so I'm going to try to jump over to here. But there's no path. There's no way to get from step A to B. So I'm trying to get people, number one, don't allow yourself to get paralyzed and sit down in the dark. Take really simple steps. Sit outside for just a little bit of nature. Get a little bit of sun. Don't get too audacious about what you want to do. Just keep moving. And trust your intuition. What I see right now is everybody giving their power away to other authorities. Mm-hmm. The news, politics, doctors, healers, and everybody. I can't make a general statement like that, but people are not getting the help they need. Because the help they need is really inside of each and every one of us to remember that we were born from the creative forces of the universe from an amazing place of love, an unbelievable place of love. So if we were born from there, we have that seed of the creator inside of us with all the wisdom and everything that we came in here to do. We have this intuition that knows everything. Our soul knows exactly what our body needs. Our spirit, constantly, it's our spirit that takes us through the darkness and takes us home to the light. That's how initiations were actually performed in shamanic cultures. Was to wear the ego and the body and the mind down so much that you only had your spirit left, that divine light, that oneness to bring you through. And then you had the spiritual strength to add to your community. And so this is what we need now. We need people who've been told, don't love yourself, don't shine too light, you're not worth anything, just try to get by the best that you can. Now we have people going, this isn't working for me, I'm not happy. And so the whole collective is starting to blow apart. And so we have to tap into our deepest spiritual tools that help us rise to this next level of consciousness that has the solutions that we need right now.
Mm. You talk about the dangers of not using our intuition and how we need to keep it intact so that we can act quickly when trickster energy appears. How would you define trickster energy?
So, I kind of relate it to when I was a little kid, my parents taking me to carnivals, and there was step up, little lady, step up, little lady. I feel I actually, that's what the whole movement right now in medical, in spirituality is step up, little lady, or step up, child, or step up, man. And I have the solution for you. Just trust me. Do you trust me? If you trust me, I have the solution for you. And we're hearing this constantly. Look at all the summits that are being put on. I mean, they're endless. They don't end. And the information is so inconsistent that's being put out that people don't know where to look anymore. They don't know where to go. But in shamanism and in spirituality and in psychology, we know that the body has every tool it needs to be independent and healthy. We know that. And so the danger of going with tricksters who are telling you, I know how to fix you, I can take care of you, I have the perfect solution for you, is that you actually miss the brilliance that your body knew, but you aren't listening to until it was too late.
Mm. So by trickster energy, we're talking about, is that something like Wetiko? You know, which is something, a mindset that people fall into.
Yeah, it's definitely a mindset. It's somebody knows more than me, and somebody's going to take care of me. Oh my God, I don't know how many years ago this was. Probably in the 70s. I was still a kid, and I made this prediction that there was going to be a time on the planet where things were going to get so tough that people were either going to choose an authority figure who says, vote for me because I'm going to keep you safe. Or people were going to choose a spiritual freedom where they tap into their own creative knowing. And I made that prediction that we were going to see this split happening more and more. Back in the 70s. And I mean, that's where we are. And so there's that child part of us that gets so afraid of what's happening. Yeah. It's just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
Yeah, that search for safety outside of ourselves, you know, this person can keep me safe rather than I can keep me safe. So really, we've just lost our connection to ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. So for me, everything that I've learned about getting through the darkness is reconnecting to the positive places that you need to reconnect. So just for example, what I've been doing is going outside and actually seeing strings of connection going back up to the sun, feeling my feet really connecting with that 4.6 billion year old heartbeat of the earth, really feeling when the wind caresses me, really feeling the healing of water when the rain comes or when the snow comes, just really soaking it in. And so connecting back to nature is what a lot of people are doing right now, to come back to themselves, because we are nature. And as we do that, then we can start to connect back to ourselves again. One of the biggest challenges that I'm meeting in the spiritual community and have been looking at for years is that we were taught not to love ourselves. And when you don't love yourself, it's really difficult to connect with anything. Your health, life, other people. And so one of the biggest challenges for people in the spiritual community right now is to love yourself, to remember how much love you were created from. We were created by so much unconditional love. And that's what I learned from my near-death experiences. I mean, when I drowned, when I went to God, I mean, the unconditional love, it's beyond what we can possibly imagine. And that's what's living inside of us, for us. And we don't know it. And so we make a lot of mistakes because we don't actually love ourselves, which means we don't trust ourselves.
Mm. So how can nature help us? Because, I mean, we can appreciate nature and feel some kind of form of love for nature. But how do we translate that to ourselves?
Yeah, so what I like to do is I tell people, number one, find some, I call them nature beings, instead of the birds, the animals, the insects, the algae, I just call everything nature beings. And so you find a nature being that you would like to connect with. And you start with, may I step into your field of energy? So ask for permission first, because we have a lot of tree huggers who just run up to trees, but we don't know if the trees want to be hugged. And sit with this being and ask it about its family, ask it about its history, and start to connect with it as a real living being. And as you start to connect with it as a real living being, and it starts speaking to you, you all of a sudden connect that you're part of so much something greater than yourself. And that brings you back into connection to yourself. It brings you back into connection. Again, when you feel that nature is communicating to you, I keep saying this, I heard this term years ago, and it makes so much sense to me about what people are going through right now, is we're species lonely. So people are trying to find all kinds of ways to connect with beings. In America here, people are getting chickens as pets. People are getting bunnies as pets, you know, really wanting to bring nature into their home. They want to connect more. And so we can. And in shamanism, there are ways that we can do it where we really speak to the being in nature. But we all have the possibility to do this because we're all intuitive beings. And so you go outside and you sit with the water, or you sit with a tree, or you sit with a plant and you ask it about itself and its family and what it has to share. Does it have a message for you? That helps you connect to yourself. And so you just drop into yourself and let your non-ordinary ears hear a message, or close your eyes and let your eyes see an image that might be coming to you. I'm very clear audience, so I hear messages all the time from spirits, and people do. And so I would say what I'm seeing people do more than anything right now is going out and connecting with nature, hiking again, doing anything in nature, because it calms down our nervous system, number one. So once your nervous system is calmed down, you can connect to yourself. If your nervous system isn't calmed down, you're dissociated, so you're not connected to yourself. So it calms you down. You have the terpenes that are coming from all the trees and plants that are healing your body. And nature loves us. Nature absolutely loves us. And so it's willing to have conversations with us. And I find that as soon as people get into nature, they feel connected to themselves.
You share a lot of very, very personal stories in the book, both of you, to illustrate certain points you're making. And you wrote that one of your entries into the dark night of the soul began in 2015 when you developed a mysterious and rare brain disorder that really impacted your ability to function. And you talk about that period as coyote energy. What do you mean by coyote energy?
Well, that initiation for me has been a 9-year initiation. And so coyote has more been, for me, it goes back to the trickster. And I love coyotes. I live out in nature, and we have a lot of coyotes here. I have a coyote I befriended. But they're known to trick their prey. And so on my 9-year journey to heal myself, I go back to what I was sharing. I kept finding people who said, I can definitely help you. I can definitely help you. Just trust me. And after 9 years, I found that the only person who could help me was me.
Yes, and are you saying then, because we can't turn away from everything that is put in our path, you know, if somebody's offering help and we're in a place where we need help, I guess most people will say, well, I've got to try it because, you know, it can't kill me. But are you saying then that by coming back to me, you're coming back to your intuition to be the guide of which of those things would be the most helpful?
Yeah, so just to give a small example, for 9 years, I worked with people, and really wonderful people, really kind people, but nothing ever helped. And what I finally was realizing was I wasn't listening to my own body about what my own body was asking for would be helpful, because everybody was so busy telling me what was wrong with me and what I needed, so I couldn't hear my own voice. As soon as I started hearing my body say, I want to see this person, I want to take this, that was when my healing started happening.
So was that another initiation? And if it was, what did you learn from it?
I learned that I have to trust myself, definitely. And I also learned how to take care of myself better, because another challenge for people in spiritual practice is we want to save the world. We want to save everybody. And so it's a big lesson for everybody in the helping profession of what is a life of balance, of how much are you taking care of yourself and how much are you taking care of others. And so I just really had to learn that one. After 43 years of being an overgiver, I had to learn that I also had a life, and I also had to take care of myself. And burnout is a really big issue in the healing profession, again, because we want to help everybody. And so looking at a life of balance is really what I learned for myself. And I know that's what a lot of people are looking at right now. We're looking at whole generations looking at, do I want to go to school? Do I want to do what my parents did? It's like the whole world is re-looking at what do we want to do to live a life that is meaningful, and not just for other people, but is meaningful for myself too.
Would you say that ultimately The thing to learn from every initiation is just that, trust yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's the bottom line, because you have to get through an initiation, you have to let your spirit carry you through.
Yeah.
And so, trusting your spirit carrying you through is how we get through initiations.
Mm. You and Lynn used what you call a feminine process of circular joint storytelling. What is that, and why is it a feminine process?
Well, back in the old days, there was a whole process of communication. So if you look at a lot of Native cultures, instead of saying to get through an initiation, do this, they would tell a long story, really long story. Where is the story even going? It's going around and around and around, and then all of a sudden it makes sense at the end. But it wasn't like it was a literal organized lecture. It was more through some form of storytelling. And so back in the day of shamanic world, it was the women who were the shamans, the women who were the storytellers, the women who were the healers. And so for Lynn and I, with both of our books, there's nothing organized in that book. It's through telling certain stories that we're trying to lead you into finding your path through the dark night of the soul. We shared our roadmap through telling different stories, but weren't linear. So step one, you do this. Step two, you do this.
Got it.
Yeah, we just told stories.
Yes, I've seen that utilized in other ways. I once attended an event with Richard Bandler, who is obviously, one of the co-founders of NLP, and he told a story, and the story went into so many other stories that, you're going in a circle, but you don't know where this is going to end. And then he came back to the beginning, and it was so profound in doing it that way that I think, it's very impactful.
When we came together to write, it's just a natural way for us to write. Because I do have a lot of books that are step one, step two, step three, step four. And I really love this process of just sitting down and closing my eyes. And I used to be a secretary, so I can type wherever my head is on the planet. And just closing my eyes and just letting my soul express itself.
You're also using different parts of the brain. I mean, in a linear step one, step two, you're definitely, in the left brain, but in a story arc, you're engaged in that story. And it's like those metaphors, your right side of your brain is already taking them in and processing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about all of nature, and yet each chapter primarily has an animal. Mm-hmm. And you talk about different animals and what we can actually take from that animal, in a sense, to help guide us through. And then you have some little exercises and, meditations and rituals and ceremonies, which are very powerful and very easy to do. So the process is definitely a good process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. The animals for us, it's important to understand, because this is a very big issue for me in shamanism. People run to books to look up the meaning of an animal or a helping spirit in their life. And those animals come to us for very unique experiences. And so we give our power away when we go to a book to look up the meaning of an animal. But what Lynn and I were doing is using qualities of animals to act as metaphors about what the lessons we were learning. So, for example, how do you go so deep into yourself that you get into the silence where your spirit can speak? And so I talked about how octopus lives so deep in the ocean and is such an amazing creature and lives such an amazing life. So it was more to show people the qualities that they might want to start embracing in their life that's going to help them through dark times.
Yeah, yeah. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but could you just say a few words about the wakeful ones?
Can I say a few words about what?
The wakeful ones, which I found quite intriguing.
The wakeful ones. Let's see. Is that
something that Lynn wrote?
That might be something that Lynn wrote. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, then. Well, tell us about your new podcast.
Well, I've had a podcast going for a while with Renee Baribeau, The Shaman's Cave. And we don't interview people. It's just Renee and I being Sandra and Renee, two crazy women out there talking about what we're seeing and what people are asking us to speak about. And so we're actually on our sixth year, and we really love doing it. We speak to current issues that are going on. Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot to talk about right now. There's a lot going on as far as current issues are concerned. I think everything is a current issue. Sandra, we are out of time, unfortunately. But thank you for joining us. And I really enjoyed the book. Enjoyed it. I found it very useful.
Good. Well, I always love working with you, Sandy, and I just want to bless everybody who's listening. We're in some interesting times, but we have such an opportunity to grow into who we came here to be. So trust yourself.
Trust yourself. Thank you. Walking Through Darkness, A Nature-Based Path to Navigating Suffering and Loss by Sandra Ingerman and Lynn Roberts is published by Union Square. For more information about Sandra Ingerman's books, podcasts, audios and events, and to join her Transmutation newsletter list, visit sandraingerman.com and also check out shamanicteachers.com. And you can find out more about Lynn Roberts at lynnroberts.com. And that's Lynn with two L's. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining us today. And I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me. And thank you again to Sandra Ingerman.